Number five, which is the Lands 2020 briefing. And Cynthia, I'll turn it over.
Good morning, Chair Smith. Can you hear me? Yeah. And commissioners and Director Unsworth, Deputy Director Storr, happy to be here. Cynthia Wilkerson with the Diversity Division, also here with Lori Vigue, our Lands 2020 coordinator, for your annual update of what's happening in the world of Lands 2020 and acquisition proposals as they are coming in from the regions to the state and looking for our agency-wide commitment to pursue funding for some new lands. We've got 10 projects to talk with you about today. So first, we always just kind of want to ground ourselves in the why of why we actually, Department of Fish and Wildlife has an acquisition program, and then the general kind of how do we do this body of work, just go a little bit through those nuts and bolts before we get to the really fun stuff about the where and the what, which Lori's going to take us through the 10 proposals that we have on the docket today. Before we get there, I just wanted to do kind of a brief update. You know, land acquisition is a body of work that takes a long, long time. And so we come to you every year with the projects, like I said, that come from the regions that have been analyzed, you know, through the state and our priorities, statewide priorities, and ask for, we ask the director for the approval to move forward into funding. Getting the funding takes several years. You see Julie Sandberg up here quite frequently, kind of at the end of that stage when we're finalizing the transactions, but there's a lot of work that goes on in between. So I just wanted to give a couple of highlights on some ongoing projects that you've seen before in the Lands 2020 cycle. There on the left is a beautiful picture of Grand Coulee Ranch, 20,000 acres in northeast Douglas County, amazing intact shrub steppe habitat, core habitat and connectivity for grouse. Also includes 14 miles of the Columbia River. We've currently secured funds through both WWRP and Section 6 for the first and second phases of that, and we'll be going this year for what we think will be the final phase in both Section 6 funding and in WWRP funding. In the top right there is the 4-0 Mountain View Ranch in Assotin County. This is a 13,000-acre the entire project is a 13,000-acre project that we've been working on for quite a while. 10 miles of the Grand Ronde River, steelhead bull trout habitat, winter range for deer and elk, just a very impressive place. And we've secured the first five phases and are now going for the sixth. So you'll see a trend here in these places that are really critical for habitats and recreation. It takes a while to make them happen. And speaking of which, that lower bottom picture, I just wanted to read this little story to you to give you a sense of how, again, the length of time and dedication and the amount of staff passion and work that goes into some of this stuff. So that is some lands down in Klickitat County, and over the course of the last 25 years, our own David Anderson, Region 5, District 9 wildlife biologist, has guided several acquisitions, as well as negotiated memorandums of understanding for habitat improvements with multiple entities. And collectively, these efforts have added lands to the Sondino unit of the Klickitat Wildlife Area, added additionally conservation-oriented lands to the Columbia River Gorge Scenic Area under management of the U.S. Forest Service, and additional acres to the Beacon Rock State Park. So again, this is a landscape-level approach. It's not only about just the department buying lands, but it's looking across the landscape and what the species and habitats need and who's the best owner of those lands. So most recently, we're celebrating that David worked to aid the Friends of the Columbia River Gorge in acquiring the 65-acre parcel private property inhabited by western pond turtles. The lands are a combination of wetlands, riparian areas, complex mixed forests of Douglas fir, white pine, Oregon ash, and Oregon white oak, as well as meadows for turtle nesting habitat. And this latest acquisition, as I said, reflects, in this case, David Anderson's long-term commitment and dedication to conserving resources in collaboration with many partners. So I kind of just wanted to tell a couple of those stories to let you know that, you know, we come and we talk to you every year about these projects that are being pursued, but there's a lot of work and a lot of people and a lot of passion that goes behind them. And so then the why. So why does the department buy land? Well, because it links to our mission, protecting, restoring, enhancing fish and wildlife in their habitats, as well as providing sustainable wildlife-related recreational opportunities. And as we all know, with increasing human populations, there's more and more pressure on the land, which causes more needs for conservation for species and habitats, and also less opportunities and more need for recreation access. And so those are really why this is part of our conservation toolbox. So again, just grounding ourselves in the department has a whole suite of conservation tools available to us, from species augmentation, which we see with pygmy rabbits and grouse and butterflies, to land use planning assistance, which you heard this morning in terms of a lot of the work that the Habitat Program does, private lands partnerships. We've got folks on the ground delivering conservation management and advice and incentives to private landowners all throughout the state. We have regulatory authority that aids us, and also enforcement authorities that aid us in providing conservation. And then last, we have real property management and transactions, which is where the land acquisition comes in. Land acquisition is part of accomplishing all four of our goals in the way that we do it. So protecting the habitat, providing those recreational opportunities, doing it in a way that is consistent with the needs of local economies and community character, and doing it in a way that is building upon good workplace practices. Just to remind ourselves again, the department owns and manages about 1 million acres of lands that are open 365 days of the year, and we receive on the order of 4 million visitors per year. In addition to that, we maintain the opportunity for 700 water access sites and boat launches. So it's a huge public service and opportunities that we provide through that program. Just want to now remind ourselves again that we do work under a set of acquisition principles that were developed through the Conservation Initiative, and they are to optimize, pursue, and use partnerships, to evaluate whether acquisition is the best conservation alternative or should we utilize some other tools, pursue lands that provide long-term opportunities, the ones that make sense for us to hold in trust for the public for long-term, that will also have long-term ecological value. And we place a higher value on acquisitions that create blocks of ownership rather than the maintenance challenges of trying to maintain small isolated fragments. And we additionally pursue easements or other non-fee title options on some of those smaller tracts, and that also may include working with partners for other landowners. And again, we prioritize lands that are ecologically and socially important. So that is kind of the why and the how, and then the where. We have identified some specific strategic acquisition priorities for the 2013-2019 period of time, including aquatic habitats, so freshwater wetlands, in-stream habitats associated also with floodplains, marine habitats, in-stream flow, and water rights. For critical habitat for specific species, including winter range for ungulates, ESA salmon, steelhead, and bull trout, endangered species such as pygmy rabbit, some of obviously the grouse species, and then Columbia white-tailed deer, western gray squirrel, golden eagles, frigid hawks, they're all called out in specific habitat priorities. Terrestrial habitats themselves, we've identified priorities of the old growth East Cascades crest, old growth habitats, eastern mature pine forest and oak pine associations, as well as Oregon white oak woodlands, our eastern shrub steppe habitats, herbaceous balds and west side prairie habitats, and channeled scablands. Additionally, we are working on our statewide priority landscapes initiative to identify place-based areas where acquisition would be one tool in a landscape conservation strategy. Other acquisition priorities do include the recreation side of things in terms of access to water and lands that are already held in public ownership but may not have access to them, maybe that you need a new parcel, or maybe you need to have a place that you can actually provide a boat launch or water access. Securing private lands that may have historically been open to the public for recreation and would provide quality hunting opportunities, as we're well aware that a lot of the private timberlands are kind of going down a track where we may be losing some of those opportunities. And then we do specifically look for strategic opportunities to help reduce or prevent wildlife damage or conflict through some of the acquisitions that we have. So I think this is something that you see frequently in Julie's presentations, as we have sort of the steps of acquisition. So we have the scoping and the need, both at the statewide level and through the regions, of all of those priorities and what's available and what are those needs and opportunities. We evaluate and prioritize what come up through those scoping and needs assessments, and we work through our Lands 2020 process through a technical team, and we do an analysis of all the proposals that are first vetted at the regions. We do that further technical review at the statewide level, and that is where we are right now. Is we are at this stage where we're presenting. We've gone through public comment, and Lori will talk about that as she goes through the specific projects. And we're now presenting to you for your information and your feedback in advance of director approval about what we're going to be further pursuing for grant opportunities. And only then, once we have the money in hand, do we move on to the land transactions and then integrating those new lands into our ownership. And those transactions have all of these specific steps, which do include coming back in front of the commission. So you do see every single land transaction and approve them at that stage. In terms of where do we get the funding for this, we have really two primary sources, although there are several other sources of funding that we do pursue on a case-by-case basis. But the Washington State Recreation and Conservation Office, through the Aquatic Lands Enhancement Accounts, and much through the Washington Wildlife and Recreation Program. It's a big source of funding for these projects, and as well as the Salmon Recovery Funding Board. And then federal funds come in through the Cooperative Endangered Species Conservation Fund, Section 6 of the ESA, and we get funds there for habitat conservation plan land acquisitions, as well as recovery land acquisitions. And then we also have other sources, including National Coastal Wetland Conservation Act and North American Wetland Conservation Act, for some of those projects. And overall, this body of work is really about strengthening common shared values to protect open spaces, water, rural economies, outdoor recreation, and working lands across the state. And we do that with a whole suite of partners, several of which are listed here. So a lot of our land trust, sportsmen's groups, and state and federal partners, as well as private landowners. With that, Lori's going to walk us through the 10 projects that we've got on the table for this cycle.
Can I just hit the mouse?
Yeah, I think so.
Good morning. Just as Cynthia described, we're going to go through 10 projects that are new to the land acquisition process this year. We have projects in all regions with the exception of two, Region 2, and that one was actually one that was a phase project, Grand Coulee, that Cynthia just described. excuse me. So I'm going to go through each proposal, an overview of each one that will describe the ecological recreational values, as well as the funding source and a list of local supporters. And then at the end, I'll go through public comments for each one, and at the end we'll give kind of a summary of comments. So for Region 1, we have three projects, Lake Creek, Touche, Seven Springs, Region 3, Tianaway Valley, Region 4, Lower Skykomish, Snoqualmie Valley, EB Island, Region 5, Bowman Creek. Region 6, we have 7400 Road, South Sound Prairies, and Willoughby Bay Shoreline. Okay, so the first project, Lake Creek in Region 1, is located. It's actually in central Lincoln County, just north of Odessa. It's 5,542 acres, and it's going after WWRP, Washington Recreation Wildlife Program, critical habitat funding. And it's just like I described, it's just north of Odessa. Okay, it provides critical habitat for sharp-tailed grouse and sage grouse. It's over 90% shrub steppe habitat, and it also provides, it's an important connectivity location for mule deer, grouse, and jackrabbit connectivity. It also provides connectivity to public lands. And then it can see the local support at the bottom of the slide. We have Inland Lands Conservancy, Spokane Audubon, et cetera. BLM is also has a lot of land in that area. Okay, so the public comments, and this is in general because most of the we had a lot of comments that just sort of would just say these are our top projects, and then a lot of projects they would just single out things. But for projects that were just sort of singled out and summarized, we had five of supported general public comments that supported this and six that opposed. And then we did receive a comment from the county commissioner, Lincoln County Commissioner, not supporting this, and it's due to the PILT issue. Until that's resolved, they were not supporting the project.
Yes.
Yes.
For the folks that opposed, can you kind of summarize the nature of the opposition?
What I'm going to do is at the end of the slides, they're all kind of there's a couple themes that we had that were kind of generally the same, and I'll kind of summarize that at the end.
I shouldn't interrupt.
No, no problem.
No problem, Chair Smith, Commissioner Kehoe. So we did have a three-week comment period.
Yes.
And what Lori is doing is she's, for each project, she's going to highlight if there are any high-profile comments on one side or the other of the equation. And then at the end, she's going to talk about sort of the general themes.
Commissioner Thornburg.
I'd just like to make a comment about the PILT. There was recently a misinformed column in the Spokesman Review about PILT and the department's responsibility in it. The department had a very well-informed letter to the editor in response, but it's a huge issue in our area and a lot of misinformation about it. So, you know, again, a communication plan is really important, and certainly those of us who are supporting this project understand the importance of that.
Thank you, Kim.
If I may, Chair Smith and Commissioner Thornburg, thank you for that. And just so you do know that there is an active effort that we are collaborating with in the legislature. There's a partnership of the Association, State Association of Counties, as well as a conservation community, and there's an executive committee of that group, which includes Assotin County, Kittitas County, Yakima County, Okanagan County, as well as Nature Conservancy, Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, Trout Unlimited, and I believe Washington Association of Land Trusts, all working together, all going to joint visits over across the street with regards to the PILT issue and the urgency of needing to fix where we are at with our PILT. We currently are looking for both a policy fix and a budgetary fix, and that is kind of an ongoing pursuit. So thank you.
Okay, the next project is Touche River and Grassland. This project is 2560 acres, and it's going for riparian, WWRP. It's located about 20 miles east of the Tri-Cities. Oops. That's weird. Okay. And it has critical steelhead and bull trout habitat. It also has white-tailed deer, mule deer, and upland birds. And it has important recreational values as well. It is, let's see, locally supported by Pheasants Forever. You can see Snake River Recovery Board and the Confederated Tribe of the Umatilla Tribe. Confederate tribes. Yes.
Question. Inland sand dunes, is that unusual?
Yes.
Is that habitat that's...
I think there is sand dunes in that area.
Inland sand dunes are an ecological system of concern in the state, and they've highlighted throughout the arid lands region as a conservation target.
Okay, and this project, we received 18 letters of support and 4 opposed. And then we did also get, I think Steve Pazenga received information from Walla Walla County Commissioners that we're not supporting this project due to pilt issues as well, until pilt is restored. Oops. Let me go back. Okay, the third project in Region 1 is Seven Springs, and this one is located directly south of the Swanson Lakes Wildlife Area. And this is going for a capital budget request. As you can see, the wildlife area just north of that. And this one would actually provide improved public access as well. And the important point about this project is it would actually supply a new headquarters office for Swanson Lakes Wildlife Area, which is really needed. It has shrub steppe grassland habitat. And it also has greater sage-grouse and sharp-tail habitat. And that, like I said before, there's a lot of BLM lands located in this area. They also support this. And we have the list of local supporters. And there's also a sage-grouse lek located within 1 mile of this project. And then for this one, it was a tie, support, opposed. Pretty straightforward.
So if I may just add one note with regards to on the slides, those lists of support, those are supporters that we have going into the public comment in advance that we've already built with regards to all the local work that we've done before we went out to the public comment. So then the public comment is in addition to that.
Thanks. Okay, and Region 3 has one proposal. It's the Tianaway Valley. It's 215 acres that's going after WWRP riparian. It is located approximately 3 miles northeast of Cle Elum. And what's important about this is that it's part of the Tianaway Community Forest. It's located right next to that. It's part of the main stem of the Tianaway River, which protects 2 fish-bearing streams. It has spotted owl, gray wolves, and bull trout and steelhead located on the site. And there was a lot of support for this one. It also comes with a water right, which the Kittitas County is actually supporting this project, I think because of the water right. And it also has good steelhead spawning habitat located. And the one that was noteworthy for the comments on this one, there was a lot of support for this one, and we received a letter from Brady Walkinshaw, who's a state representative of the 43rd District that was supporting this proposal. We also, within the comments, we received a couple comments of folks supporting non-motorized vehicle transportation only in this area. It was a couple noteworthy comments. Okay, Region 4, we have 2 proposals. The Lower Skykomish Snoqualmie Valley is one proposal. It's going after WWRP urban and water access for 280 acres. It's located just south of the town of Monroe. And the important thing to realize about this project is it's an important geographic envelope that actually provides it would be farmland and recreational values that's offset by lands that are impacted by large-scale salmon recovery projects in Region 4. So it replaces farmed upland habitat. It's critical habitat for Chinook. And it has important water access as well for recreation, wildlife viewing, upland bird waterfowl hunting. And it's also a pheasant release site, which is an important component. And this, we received 10 comments of support. There was no one opposing this project. And lastly, for Region 4, we have EB Island, which is pretty straightforward. It's a Washington State Department of Transportation mitigation site, 13 acres. And we're only, I think, requesting funding to provide for acquisition costs, closing costs on this one. And it's part of a geographic envelope located right just 1 mile east of Everett. And it has, it's a Pacific flyway for waterfowl migration, and it's ESA listed Chinook and bull trout. And the one thing, and I didn't have a comment slide on this one because it's there's one supporter for this one, so I didn't want to leave that out. It's also important for duck hunting in this area. So Region 5, we have one proposal, Bowman Creek. It's 60 acres. It's located right next to Klickitat Wildlife Area, just east of the Soda Springs unit. It is going after WWRP riparian. As you can see, it's right, Klickitat and Soda Springs, well, part of Soda Springs is a unit of Klickitat. And it's located approximately 11 miles west of Goldendale. And adjacent to this is a Columbia Land Trust property, which has some of the most recorded western gray squirrel nests in the state. So it's a pretty significant area that adds connectivity to our wildlife area. Like I said, western gray squirrel habitat, mule deer, black-tailed deer winter range, and white oak woodlands. And also 30 acres of this parcel has grazed lands. I know they're fencing it to keep livestock out of the creek. And it's an important potential water source for the wildlife area as well during drought conditions. For this one, we had a lot of supporters, two opposed. Couple comments that were noteworthy is actually folks were not in favor of grazing. Couple, that was an interesting feedback to get. We did receive a letter from Klickitat County Commissioners, and they just want to have a follow-up meeting to discuss the proposal. They didn't say one way. They weren't opposing it in this letter at this point. And another noteworthy item is Cynthia got a call from Rob Cavanaugh, and he supports this acquisition, so I thought that would be interesting.
And with regards to the Klickitat County Commissioners, yeah. Regional Director Guy Norman is in the process of scheduling that meeting.
Correct. Okay, we have three projects for Region 6, 7400 Road is a 15-acre parcel that's located on Wainuchi River. It's going after WWRP water access. As you can see, it's located, I think, 17 miles north of Montesano. And this one is very noteworthy. We had over, well, I'll talk about that in a second, but we have the timber company Green Diamond that closed a road that went to this very popular angler access site that actually they fish for steelhead, and they closed that. And so there's a lot of public support for this, which I'll get to in a second. But as you all know, that public access to lands in state waters controlled by private ownership is becoming increasingly limited, and this is just a perfect example of this one. So it has a summer and winter steelhead. We've received 161 letters of support for this one, and they're still coming. There was a lot of public support for this one, so it's pretty straightforward. Region 6, we have South Sound Prairies, which is a new one, prairie acquisition, just south of here, just south of Tumwater, 491 acres. It's actually going for 148-acre fee title and then 343-acre conservation easement. So it's a combination. We're going after U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service Section 6 funds as well as WWRP. And you can see this one is part of a five-parcel geographic envelope that has target parcels. You can see there's like parcel A down by Scatter Creek Wildlife Area, and parcel E is actually, those two are what, just north of Bakota, are the ones we're going for right now. But they're part of identified critical habitat for Mazama pocket gopher. And it's part of a reserve system focused on South Puget Sound Prairie species conservation. And it has It's also supported by the Thurston County Habitat Conservation Plan, and it includes checker spot, Taylor checker spot, and Mardon butterfly, or Mardon skippers, butterfly species. And this one, we received two comments of support and one opposing. Lastly, we have Willapa Bay Shoreline, 733 acres. It actually was funded by North American Wetland Conservation Act and duck stamps. And you can see the parcels here? So there's one here, and then one up north. Those are the three parcels that are included in this. And it's part of a large geographic envelope, and it's connected to the wildlife refuge as well as DNR conservation areas and Cascade Land Conservancy. And it has green sturgeon and ulacan, coastal cutthroat, or federal species of concern. It also preserves water quality flowing into Willapa Bay. It's important for waterfowl and shorebird migration routes, and it's also very important for recreation. And that's the summary of all, and it had five letters of support, so it's pretty straightforward. And so in summary, the public comments total received was 274, and that's the most we've ever received before. In general, supporting 24 and opposed were about 24 comments. And like Cynthia said, public had 3 weeks to comment on these in January and February this year. And the general themes we had, basically they were just disagreeing with the concept of public lands that we currently have. The current concept of publicly owned lands, they weren't supporting, and in how we manage the lands as well. And also, like I said, we were talking about before, pilt was a big issue. Those were the large themes that we heard in a lot of letters. And I think do you have anything else to add? That's it for now.
So then in terms of the next steps, we are looking for your thoughts and comments most immediately, and asking for those to be sent to Nate Pamplin, if you have them, by March 11th. And then we will take all of the feedback that we've received, including all the support that's been gathered, all the comments and concerns that came in through the public comment, including maybe some additional conversations in the interim. And we will work with the director to determine what we are going to move forward in this round of Lands 2020. So at this time, like I said, we are working to take into consideration some of those concerns that we've had. It is possible that maybe one or two projects we may revisit, or we may deal with in a different way than moving it forward. But right now, we're still having that conversation and looking for your thoughts and feedback as well. We also will be presenting our path forward, as we always do every year, at the RCO Habitat and Recreation and Lands Coordinating Forum in March 18th of this year. And then the projects that move forward will be part of the application cycle. That this year is what is the big year, because it's a WWRP year, which happens every other year, and as well as all the other funding sources. And then once we apply for funding, we will continue down the track of our actually acquiring the lands that we receive funding for. So I think that is what we have, and we're happy to entertain any questions.
I think this is a great opportunity for the commission to look at the overarching strategy, the Lands 2020 strategy guides, all the specific transactions and acquisitions. There's a couple things that have always kind of bugged me a little bit about our rationale. And, you know, certainly I agree that the whole question over PILF is separate from the question of how we can most effectively achieve our conservation objectives, which should drive this effort. And one there's a couple things that I've always puzzled over. The acquisition of small pieces here and there. is that an effective way to secure habitat for the future, especially in light of how small they are and changes that we can expect with climate differences? So that's a hard one, I know. And in relation to the pocket gopher, mm-hmm. you know, they look like very small mm-hmm. parcels. Is that, and we do we have any evidence that that is enough to protect these or give them sufficient habitat?
Very good question, Chair Smith, Commissioner Wecker. One of the things that wasn't part of very visible in that part of the story about the pocket gopher and the South Puget Sound prairies is that there is we have worked to develop a reserve design, a landscape reserve design that's built on pocket gophers and their needs as well as the other prairie species, and we've done that in conjunction with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and the Thurston County HCP with the county, and that has identified sort of the spatial configuration of protected pockets that we would be looking
pockets of pocket gophers
for habitat that are needed for a long-term strategy in terms of as well as the connectivity between them.
Yeah.
And so these, and you may, here, I'll pull it up because I think it is quite compelling. The support on here reflects the partnership in the Sentinel Lands Working Group of NRCS, Department of Agriculture, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, Department of Defense, Center for Natural Lands Management, Capital Land Trust, Nisqually Land Trust, and Thurston County. And it is because we are looking at that landscape-level approach. And you'll note that that the discussion here was that we're looking for this parcel for fee acquisition, which would be then integrated into the adjacent Scatter Creek Wildlife Area lands. All the other parcels were actually going for conservation easements so that those lands can be kept in private ownership and keep the working lands working. So we are considering that in a context. It's a very good question, and it's a question that we ask ourselves most definitely.
I assume that you ask yourself that.
Absolutely.
Because it does cost a lot of money to manage those dispersed little pieces of property.
Absolutely.
And sometimes they change in ways that you can't control because the surrounding landscape affects them so much.
Absolutely.
And then the other thing that's bugged me a little bit over the years is the acquisition of wetlands that cannot be developed anyway. We've talked about that. That's another tough one. Many times the wetlands are under restrictions, and yet we purchase them. Sometimes those wetlands allow the landowner who's selling the wetlands to, I've seen this happen where the landowner then receives enough money to develop the adjacent uplands mm-hmm. that does not have the constraints on development. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's been counterproductive in my county to purchase wetlands because just given the money to the developer, essentially. So I've never been 100% comfortable with the idea of buying wetlands that can't be developed anyway. But it does protect it forever. I understand that. It's the current rules could change.
Yeah. So, Chair Smith, Commissioner Wecker, I very much appreciate that comment. And we do have a part of our ranking criteria is looking at the threat. So understanding what the real threat is relative to other projects is part of what we look at when we prioritize what we're going after. There are other values of the wetlands or maybe waterfowl hunting that's important there. There's just a case-by-case basis. We look at all of those issues.
And just the uplands, protecting uplands, too, is important for protection of the wetland.
I have a question. In the opposition statements, have you noticed this year more of a politicization given the events of
Yes. There were a few comments.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, Chair Smith. Absolutely. There were several references to the Malheur occupation incident and in the sort of ideological opposition to public land ownership.
No comment.
There's a handful.
Any other questions?
Thank you.